Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in on a Monday, Maize and Blue Reviews. Good afternoon, Michigan football. A Monday following the spring game. Basketball taking center stage today as Dusty May is doing work. We're ready to talk about all of it with you. Welcome in. Hope you had a great weekend and all of that. If you went down to Michigan Stadium, I'm guessing that you did have a great weekend. Well, the spring game, we're going to talk about it. I'm going to give you my impressions, my thoughts, my takeaways on Michigan and what they put on display on Saturday. As always, we are going to be interested in to hear what you have to say, what your thoughts and takeaways were with the Michigan spring game, questions and concerns, all of it after the team was out there on Saturday and all day long. I mean, if you like Michigan, you like the Maize and Blue, it was your kind of day. Mentioned the basketball team. Dusty May is putting in work, and he is coming away with commitment after commitment. He is up to now double figures. You know, this roster couldn't put a team out on the floor a couple days ago, and now they're just looking to add a final couple pieces, players from all over the place coming in, a motley crew, and we'll see if they're able to gel together and what they're able to do next year. We'll be talking about it a lot, but we'll give you some of the names, give you some impressions on the players. I've watched them all, and I'll tell you what I think of it. But first, we've got commitment news. Yeah, Michigan had just been sitting there with three commitments for the longest time. That is over as Michigan has secured a commitment. They're now fourth of the 25 cycle as they pull in the number one ranked defensive end, Nate Marshall. Yeah, number one. He is a four-star and ranked number one by Rivals, number 21 overall. So this is as good as it gets if you're a Michigan fan. NM coming in. He is from Oak Park, Illinois. And he has accepted the challenge, and that is great news. If you're a Michigan football fan, you don't have to worry about sky is falling guy. You know, when are we going to get a commitment? When are we worried? When should I start? You know, all of that. And, you know, I understand as much as anybody trying to shake things up and, you know, get people going and everything. But now Michigan is put to end at least that for the moment. Yeah, who's next? So we'll see. I've you know, taking a long view and saying, oh, Michigan will probably get going with a couple in May, and then they'll probably get a couple more in June, and then they'll really, people don't want to hear, they want it now. They want Nate Marshall, and you got it. So congratulations. You got that. That can, you know, satisfy you if you're somebody that's in the recruiting game for at least a day or two. Now, if not 3 days before you start saying, when's the next one? So this could be a seal breaker where others are ready to follow. That wouldn't be a surprise. You know, you get done with the spring practice and now, you know, guys coming in and, you know, they're thinking about, you know, grabbing one of those scholarships. They saw what Michigan put on display on Saturday and, you know, they want to be a part of it. So that all good news for Michigan. Now we get to the spring game. My first thing that I thought about the spring game, and it was great to see the folks that stopped by. We met on the southwest corner of the stadium where the War Eagle is at. And Ferris, who oftentimes joins the pod, he was like, are you going to be there? And there he was. He showed up. So it was great. And there were some others as well. And Jerry DiGario from the pod showed up. And it was great to see Jerry in person. So that was fun. You see, able to put the faces with the names and that kind of thing. That was great. And I got to experience walking in, but then, you know, I was in the friendly confines of the press box, but then I went out half hour before kickoff and woo, and, you know, a little cold, a little windy out there. And that definitely affected the attendance. And sure, I thought that there was going to be 60,000 plus there, and I was taking the over, and it wasn't even half of that. So, you know, you could be disappointed. I can't be too disappointed about that because, as you know, I've said it a few times, I'm a fair weather fan. I don't know. I would like to tell everybody, oh, I would have been down there all bundled up, sitting out there in the stadium, Michigan coming off a national championship and everything else. But, man, and it didn't feel like walking in for the first time, but then the wind started kicking up. It was a little blustery, a little chilly out there. Blustery in the reverse, right? So it wasn't the greatest weather, but anyways, the team didn't seem to mind out there. It was football weather, as has been pointed out. The first thing, I watched Ohio State last week, and Ohio State played a two-hand touch scarlet and gray game. And Michigan came out and you're thinking, well, maybe Michigan will also play a two-hand touch game. And right from the very first snap, it was apparent that that wasn't going to be in the case because it was full-on tackling and hitting. There was a spot where, you know, one of the players could have been called for a late hit out of bounds later in the game, and you don't want this. You know, there was almost a targeting, although I do believe it was Cody Jones who on the replay, it looked like he got made shoulder contact. I think it was Marlon Klein in the game who was left a little woozy there, but you know, Klein was in the media room, visiting locker room that they had for the spring post game. And he was there. So no worse for the wear, just like Alex Orji on the final play for the, I think he was with the blue team, getting able to get out there and look like he would have scored a touchdown, but they called him down, which it wouldn't have been, and nobody wanted to see that. But, Orji was with the blue team. But tackling, Michigan in 2021, the way that they turned things around, they got a new defensive coordinator. They brought a lot of different coaches and a lot of former Michigan coaches, and that was big. Those two items were big. They also went to a ground and pound game where the focus was on toughness and the line of scrimmage. And you could say it's always that way, but you know, in 2021, with the more of an emphasis on the running game, that you know, this is Michigan's calling card. This is the way Michigan practiced. This is the way Michigan plays. And Michigan tackling, it shouldn't be lost on any Michigan fans that this was Michigan sparring. If you're going to box, you got to get out there and you got to spar. And you're going to tackle and you're going to be a tough team and that's going to be your calling card. You got to practice and play that way. And they did. And, you know, to me, this was like a win for Michigan over Ohio State. The narrative that Michigan is tough and Ohio State is soft, that is what Michigan is going with. That is what Michigan has shown the last 3 years. And Michigan continues to say, we're coming down to Columbus and we are punching you in the mouth. We are taking our fist and we are slamming you in the face. And Ohio State has got the greatest talent ever assembled. And it's fancy and everything else, but they have not been able to withstand the physicality of Michigan over the last 3 years. This is in Ohio State's head, and it will continue to stay there. I don't care if Ohio State is rolling up 50-0 scores on everyone. They get Michigan coming down there on November the 30th, and they are going to be thinking, oh, now we got to toughen up. Oh, now you got to toughen up. Now you're going to play big boy football. So it's advantage Michigan in April. It doesn't matter what any Ohio State fan thinks, whatever fancy recruiting ranking that they can pull out, whatever amount of cash that they can pull out and say, this is what we have spent to assemble the greatest team ever. Bring it on. I think you feel better if you're a Michigan fan after the spring games of the last 2 weeks. So that was the first thing. Now, the second thing for me was the quarterbacks. And this is how the quarterbacks have been arranged. If you have a 2-deep, 3-deep, we'll have a 5-deep, because that's how many quarterbacks are out there competing for the starting job. Alex Orji went into spring as the likely quarterback one. He emerges as quarterback one. He was the starter. He also, after the game, was the only quarterback that was available in the media room. There you see him on the right, if you're watching the screen after the game. Alex Orji is quarterback one. If the season started tomorrow, Alex Orji would be the starter against Fresno State, and likely then the starter against Texas coming up on September the 7th. There's always a lot of talk, as you know, and as I know, and there'll continue to be a lot of talk about the quarterback position. But as we sit here right now, Alex Orji is your quarterback for Michigan in 2024. Davis Warren had an excellent spring. We saw last year that Davis Warren could throw the football around, and he's got an excellent arm, and he put that on display with the 50-yard bomb that he lofted in with perfect touch and was able to hook up with Bell in the end zone for the touchdown. Davis Warren would be your backup quarterback if we were heading into game week against Fresno State. Denigo was a little bit shaky. I'd put him at third. Jaden Davis at quarterback four. We'll talk a lot about him. I don't know about that motion with Jaden Davis. When I get a chance to talk with quarterbacks, Kirk Campbell, Sharon Moore, I am going to ask about this sidearm delivery that Davis was displaying out there. We'll see. And Jack Tuttle is injured. And the seventh-year QB, I don't know if he played at all in spring ball. So that puts a question mark with Tuttle status and with the quarterback room. And the thing that everybody wants to know is that, will Michigan go out in the transfer portal and will they pursue a quarterback? And my answer to that is maybe. This is the way football works now, college football. You put your team through the practices and you go out there and then you look in the transfer portal every day and you decide, can this player help us? Can this player be added to our room of whatever position group, and can he add depth? Can he compete for the starting job? And at quarterback, since there's only one that can play, if there is a quarterback out there that Michigan believes that could come in and compete with Alex Orji and Davis Warren, then I think that they'll pursue him. That's how I think it's going to unfold. I know there are different names, and the names will be put out there. There's been indication by Michigan during the spring, not outwardly, but behind the scenes, that they would look to the transfer portal. Now, sometimes that stuff gets put out there and, it's spring fodder. It's made for rumors, and, they might want to say, look, you can say anything you want, about you know, this is what people they're saying, and you know, there's not really, you can't really prove it. That's what I'm saying. If you're somebody that said Michigan will look to the transfer portal, and they might look to the transfer portal because there might be a quarterback out there, and there is, to me, an opening. You know, Tuttle was he's obviously the oldest quarterback, a veteran quarterback, has the most experience out of all the guys because none of the other guys have any experience, and Tuttle does. So just in that, they might be looking for somebody to come in. Also, they had the opportunity for 15 practices to work with Denigle and Orji and Warren and put them to see if they really think, hey, is this guy, Orji in this case, is he really a bona fide starter for a team that wants to defend the national championship, that wants to win the Big Ten for the fourth time in a row, for a team that wants to get into the 12-team college football playoff? That's an awful lot. And they have to answer that question. And I believe that they will look to the portal, but it's going to depend who the player is and whether or not he's coming in. People like automatically thinking like, oh, they'll just go grab somebody and he'll be the starter come the last day of August against Fresno. I would still bet right now, if I was putting money down on it, that Alex Orji would be the starter for Michigan to start the season. And I don't think that they'll play two quarterbacks. I don't like the idea of playing two quarterbacks. I never have. History suggests that it doesn't work almost every time. There have been instances where it has. Heck, for Michigan 2 years ago, because they weren't playing anybody for the first three games, Harbaugh was able to have the battle royale with Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy, where he was going to play the one game and play the other one in game two. Cade McNamara came out and, you know, crapped the bed when he was out there, and J.J. won that job going away. It's different. You know, if Michigan had – the difference would be if Michigan was sitting there with Fresno State, Arkansas State, instead of Texas, was playing Texas State or something like that. Then Michigan could play two quarterbacks. They can't do that. So the any kind of rotating quarterback talk, I think, is not going to happen. And I certainly wouldn't suggest that they have any two quarterback type system. So it's fun to talk about, but in practicality, it doesn't work. I know if Jim Scarcelli, who joins us on Wednesdays watching this, he's like, no, that is a smart, I don't think so. So people can have differences of opinion on it. If you're adamant that no, Davis Warren should be out there, that's fine. I'm just telling you how I feel about it. I think that if you see Davis Warren against Texas, that Michigan's likely going to be down a couple scores, that Michigan is going to be in need of a spark. And that's not good news as we sit here and talk about it, this far away. You know, Alex Orji goes into the season against Fresno State, but let's say he lays an egg against Fresno State, and then he comes out against Texas, and he can't hit the broad side of the barn. Well, then, you know, that's when you go in an emergency. That is an emergency situation to me. You can say, what emergency situations if he gets hurt? Well, that's no if he gets hurt. If you need a spark, it could be Warren or the other quarterback. So as much as we're going to argue about it's Orji or the whoever it is in the transfer portal, if they're able to lure somebody in to compete for this job, we will be discussing that. But I think that it's going to be Orji to start the season out. That's how I believe that it's going to play out. I do believe standing 2 feet away from Alex Orji after the spring game and talking with him, he has got the right mindset. Quarterbacks almost as a rule are savvy guys, you know, smart guys, and, you know, they get it almost, you know, across the board. It kind of goes with you got to be a quarterback. You got to be ready for all that. But I was impressed how Orji handled himself and dealt with all of the questions. I asked him if he could push the football down the field. He kind of laughed, like, you know, so, you know, he knew what people were saying about him. He laughed it off. Yeah, he feels like he can push the ball down the field. What about a transfer quarterback that come in? Yeah, he handled it instead of being like, you know, because Kirk Campbell didn't completely rule it out if you look exactly what he said. But he said, no, we're not looking for a transfer quarterback at this time. No, at this time, but they could be today. So, you know, the way that you put that out there, you know, smart by Campbell, how he handled it. But, you know, he didn't say categorically, no, there is zero chance that we will add any quarterback. No, you don't say that. So he did it well, but obviously Orji has at least some ways heard about people talking about that. And he said that if the coaching staff made a move, that quarterback room, the way that these guys deal with one another and how it is a family atmosphere in there, that Orji would welcome someone in if that ends up being the way that Michigan goes. So I liked how he handled his business. What do they say now? It's Kendrick Perkins. He's the first person. He was standing on his business about being the quarterback. Very confident, handled all of the questions, and, you know, is right now the quarterback one. The thing I would say about Orji is that he's a work in progress at quarterback. He's an excellent runner. When it comes to throwing the football, there were a number of passes like the first two. So he got off on the wrong foot throwing the football. Like the third pass that he made, he kind of swung out there and just kind of a little, I don't know, 5-10 yard out. Well, he threw that one in there, just zinged it in there. JJ McCarthy would have loved that throw. If that would have been his first one, everybody would have been like, yeah. But you know, you get those first impressions, you get your preconceived notions. But there were some other throws where he was putting the ball out there and you're like, oh, you know, it's zipped over, no chance. And you're just thinking, no, you don't really like it. You got to be able to throw the ball better than what he did. And I think Michigan, he took the ball right down the field and then scored running the ball, ran it in. We're going to see a lot of that. Alex Orji's very good at running the football. I'd say dynamic, being able to run the football. I'm stopping short of saying great at running the football, but he's very good. We saw him last year do it at the tail end of the season. And then, you know, here he was again on that first drive. And then Michigan put him in different situations throughout that game. And they even when you thought, I thought that this thing was over and he'd have a ball cap on or whatever else, he might even take his pads off. No, they're putting him in there in the fourth quarter. Different situations. Let's see if he's going to throw the ball. I wanted to see that last one where he would have run in for a touchdown. And if they would have been able to get the ball back, what, you know, you just want more and more reps with the crowd watching, with the cameras on. But, you know, I also think that Sherrone Moore is like, all right, let's enough. We don't need any more reps out of him when it comes down to that. So is the stock higher in my mind with Orji after seeing him, or is it lower after watching the spring game? You know, I'm hesitant because I want to say that's about what I expected. I wasn't expecting Orji to go out there and just throwing darts and putting the ball on the receivers left and right and being like, oh man, this guy's a finished product. I never thought that that was going to be the case. I would have liked to see him look a little bit better in the passing game. I would have. But do I think that Michigan can beat Texas with Alex Orji as their quarterback with everything else? Now, the everything else is a pretty important part. With everything else, like a great defense. And Michigan looks like they can have a great defense. And everything else on offense, what I was pleasantly surprised about is, you know, Michigan, they've got some some star capability on offense, and Orji is part of that. I think if whenever people are talking about Michigan and Orji and can they win with them, and I immediately see, like when I'm reading, whether it's here or Twitter, wherever, when I see somebody say Michigan won 3 years ago with Cade McNamara at quarterback, I feel that same way. I think Alex Orji, now McNamara was a better passer than Orji, but you know, Orji, we know what he can do. I mean, he's a special runner and he's a work in progress as a thrower. I think Michigan can win with Orji. I'll say this about quarterbacks that are dual threat. They almost in every situation that I have seen, when you have every running athletic quarterback has questions about his passing ability. In the history of me watching quarterbacks at any level, they all get questioned like this. You know, the draft is coming up on Thursday. I can remember just a few years ago when Lamar Jackson, there were five quarterbacks taken in that first round. Remember Baker Mayfield was number one and Lamar Jackson was the last pick in the first round. Well, Lamar Jackson, during the draft process, there were a lot of people like, I don't know, Lamar Jackson, you know, Lamar, maybe. And there was even the notion and you know, there's a lot of pushback about it. Like, maybe Lamar should run the 40. Maybe he'd be a wide receiver. Now, that was like the old day thinking, like, oh, okay, you got black athletic quarterback who was great in college. He's not going to translate to the pros. I think there was a little bit of that going on. And even, you know, the Ravens, who ended up selecting him, they, you know, they took a tight end with their other first round pick. Nobody else selected him. And then they picked him with the last pick. Great job. Two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson. But there have been questions about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. He's such a great runner that he gets questioned about his throwing. I can also remember in that same draft, Josh Allen out of Wyoming. Now, I would just read about Josh Allen. Oh, the guy's just got the greatest arm. He can throw it to the moon. But then I watched Dan Orlovsky. It was before he was working for ESPN. And Orlovsky basically said that Josh Allen couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. He couldn't read a defense to save his life. He had bust written all over him. Oh, yeah, he's got all the arm, but he can't read a defense. He can't go through progressions. I thought, man, if Orlovsky knows what he's talking about here, Allen will be a bust. But look at him. Look at Josh Allen. But look at even this year, though. People were like, Josh Allen. Last year, they were like, Josh Allen, because he's so great and physical as a runner, they're like, he's got to get away from that or he's going to get hurt. He's got to throw the ball. Well, then this year, they're like, he's got to get back to his old self. So it comes back to it. And then the guy that I think that Alex Orji reminds me of the most, and that is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts got benched at Alabama in the championship game, and they put in Tua. Because they needed a spark. They needed a passer, and it worked. And then he got benched at Alabama and left and displayed a nice ability to throw the ball with Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. It was like he was a different quarterback. Ended up getting him drafted in the second round. But I'd have to go back and watch every one of these draft gurus. But I'll just label them all and paint them with the same brush. They're all like, Jalen Hurts does not throw with anticipation. Jalen Hurts is not an NFL quarterback. Jalen Hurts can only throw the ball in between the hashes. Jalen Hurts, he might be a gadget quarterback, but he's never going to make it in the NFL. It hurts these guys that are incredible athletes that can run. They all get questioned about their ability because they don't just stand back there and throw that picturesque ball like Davis Warren did when he hooked up with Kendrick Bell. So there is part of that, but there also is part of it where you watch and you're just like, man, he's going to have to be better. And I agree. But can he get better? Can Michigan beat Texas with Orji? And I say yes. And if they can beat Texas, I think they'll go 3-0. And then they play USC. I think Michigan's beating USC. USC is a softer version of Ohio State. I would pick Michigan to win that game by at least double figures right now against the Trojans. I know they're the big bad Trojans and everything else, but Michigan, I think, will beat USC by double figures. That's 4-0. Minnesota at Washington. Washington's a tough place to play historically for Michigan, but I think they should be able to win that game. That's 6-0. At Illinois, 7-0. Michigan State, 8-0. Now we're talking about, you know, the stretch run. Oregon, that's at home. I think Michigan can do it with Alex Orji. I thought that heading in. I still feel like that, but I also feel like they could add a quarterback. I'm not, you know, well, they add one. I mean, it's like, yes, I think they will add a quarterback, but I think it's because of Tuttle's injury. And the whoever the biggest name is, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, and great. You know, if they're able to get somebody that comes in and they feel like is better from May to August and will be able to take over the job to be the starter in game one, that would be surprising. But would that be good news? That means that player must be pretty damn good, because Orji is pretty damn good everywhere except, you know, you'd like him to be a little bit better passing the football. So that's how I feel about the quarterback room as we sit here right now. Orji will be the starter against Fresno State, but I do believe Michigan will bring in a transfer quarterback. My other point is the one that I think is the biggest one coming out of spring. Now, Gio Alhadi did not participate in the spring game. He's been banged up at practice. Preeb, the transfer from Northwestern, who is probably Michigan's best offensive lineman, he did not participate. So your best and your two guards. And then they had, you know, two of them over on the blue side, three of them more. You know, you didn't have a starting offensive line like you would through the other 14 practices. There would be the ones where you could, you know, you got a gel and all that. So it was a hodgepodge. So that was a tough to get reads. I don't know, individually we'll see, you know, hey, how did they move their feet? Did they let somebody come across their face? All these different things that the guys technically, I think Jerry Diorio will be looking at the technical aspects. I think Scar will be doing the same thing when those guys join us, and they'll talk about the spring game. But if Michigan is going to be the Michigan from the last 3 years, the number one thing that they need is they need a plow horse, physical dominating offensive line. And I don't know if they have that. Well, Miles Hinton, you know, 100% healthy. He's a mountain of a man. Left tackle sounds great to me. Preeb, best offensive lineman they got. Crippen, he's ready to go. He's waited his time. Alhadi will be in there. Whoever it's going to be, Gentry or Percy over at right tackle, maybe guard for Percy. Who knows? It sounds good on paper, but it needs to be brought to the paper, to the field, and to Texas, and smashing them from the first snap. If Michigan is going to play smash, they need the offensive line. And I don't know. And I don't think we're not going to know. You're not going to know. And nobody is going to know until the Longhorns come in on September the 7th. That's when we're going to find out about Michigan's offensive line. Now, we might have some clues if they get out there against Fresno and they're not able to dominate Fresno State. What are they, the Bulldogs? If they're not able to smack those Bulldogs upside the face, then we could be like, whoa, they could be in trouble against the Horns. But that's when we're going to find out, and that's, to me, the biggest key. You know, now I'd say the quarterback. Now, offensive line is the biggest key, closely followed by quarterback. And almost every other team in the country, you wouldn't say that. You'd say, it's quarterback. Most important position in all the football and all the sports, quarterback, which is true, but not at Michigan, necessarily. Michigan has their offensive line. and they can come firing off the ball, you can win with a QB that doesn't turn the ball over and can get those chains moving and get you into the end zone. Doesn't have to be J.J. McCarthy. Doesn't have to be Kurt Warner or whoever you're, you know, thinking about. You want this passer. It doesn't have to be that. So that's where I sit when it comes down to the QBs. Now, a lot of feedback, and I've got 10 minutes to go. So let's get to it. Let's see. We start out with Antoine, who's talking about slander for Orgy. Someone needs to correct this. Orgy passed the ball, and you add to his legs. That's devastating, people. They act like he missed a few throws. Yeah, look at quarterback, even with your own fan base, there's going to be slander. You miss some passes. Passing is more important than running. And so you're it's going to be hard for people to do that. They're going to be down on Orgy. Until Orgy goes out there and wins ball games for you, people are going to question him. You know, that's just the way it is. I don't expect the majority. I don't know. Do I expect the majority? I kind of do expect the majority of people to understand if this is going to be the guy that that he can win for you. But I think a lot of people are, this is the way the transfer portal works now. If there's somebody out there and there's going to be, I don't know, there'll probably be about four or five guys that people will think without even, you know, high school or names, that people will think that will be able to come in here and be an upgrade for Michigan. This is a big name. That didn't get any bigger than this. Arch Manning. Talking about the Horns. Could you imagine the Horns who are coming in? Arch Manning next week comes up to Ann Arbor, and he's playing against the Horns. How about that for a storyline? There you go, Scott, who mentions 275 in the spring game for Texas. Antoine, not impressed by Arch Manning and Scott when it comes down to it. Woo! Oh, boy. Oh, wait a second. It looks like we got a lot of guys going back and forth here. Now, Andres, if I had to pick right now, are you going with Warren or Orgy? I don't think that's a tough one at all. I think that is, there's no doubt that it is Orgy. Scott says, did Jerry D outdress Scar at the spring game? Yeah, well, Scar was probably sitting on his couch. Jerry always outdresses everyone. Jerry looked great at the spring game. It was great to see him. Here's the punters saying that he thinks Michigan is stuck with Orgy, whether or not they're confident with him. I don't think Michigan will find better talent that they can afford in the portal. I don't think money, you know, I think with basketball, money, you know, and basketball's got it going right now, so not necessarily knocking them, but I think football, if there is a QB, if they really feel like, man, there's a guy out there that can come in and help this team better than what they have and get them to, I think that they would spend the money, but it's got to be the right player. I don't think they're just going to spend just to spend. If it's Arch Manning, I don't know what they're feeling like. Arch Manning, I always felt like was a little bit inflated because his name was Manning. You know what I mean? But maybe he is. That one's tough. When I hear all these, Arch Manning, for, I don't know about that. AJ likes what he is seeing. Well, he says, what's the purpose of the spring game? It's to get the fans out there to be able to see the conclusion of the 15th practice, which is then put on as a, entertainment. And also, you know, to get the players to get in front of the fans because it's a different atmosphere. And really it's to work on the second and third string and the younger players from there. That is what it is all about. Let's see. Wistro thinks Antoine and Cook, Brian Cook, agree on Orgy. I don't know. I know those guys do a great job and everything else, but I don't know how much that guy really knows about football. He's smart and everything else, but I don't know enough to say, and I don't know what he's saying, so I can't really verify what you're saying about him and everything else. Nothing against him. Doing a fabulous, making money, Fabulous job over there, but, you know, not here. I don't really know anything. Old Timer says, look at the bright side. Orgy, no picks. Touchdown run, should have been two. And he really wasn't being schemed the way that he would be during the season. Well, that's right. And that's it. Look, you know, arguing back and forth with one another, I know that you guys normally, you know, you go on other podcasts and they don't bring you in here and you guys, you can, you know, argue and you know, bicker back and forth. I'd rather not see that. Because what happens is it just it makes me have a hard time sifting through like comments like this from Jelinek, who says TJ Guy and DJ Waller were beasts. Yeah, Guy was in the backfield a lot. He was somebody that if he had never watched Michigan play, you'd say, I like him. And Waller's the same way. Waller's a playmaker. He got stripped after making a pick, but he's around the football a lot, and you can see his instincts, and I like DJ Waller. I am with you on that. JAM says he thinks the defense is going to be the real deal. Denigal will be what we saw with Denigal will be most opposing teams this season. Yeah, I think the defense is going to be the real deal, too. I like that. I'm with you on that. All right, let me get to basketball. Believe me, we'll be talking about the spring game in the days and weeks ahead. Michigan will win with Warren or OG. OT says he doesn't think they'll even go after a quarterback in the portal. Maybe. Let me just say this about Michigan basketball right now. Dusty is cooking. I have now, what is it, nine names? Darrell Brooks, George Washington III, Will Cheddar, and Namari Burnett. Danny Wolf from Yale, a poor man's Lauri Markkanen. That's what I saw on tape. Big Red, Trey Donaldson. Reminds me of a bigger Mike Smith, who played at Michigan and was their starting point guard in 2021 on the Big Ten championship team. Roddy Gale Jr. from Ohio State reminds me of former Michigan guard Deion Harris, Justin Pippen, in the mold of an Eli Brooks, Reuben Jones from North Texas, a Kobe Bufkin clone, and Sam Walters, who they got today out of Bama, looks like Trey Murphy III. He plays for the Pelicans. He's their starting shooting guard. Walters is actually a little bit bigger. First thing I put down was Tony Kukoc. So Kukoc and Pippen for Dusty. Walters. When it comes down to the way you want to look shooting the ball, Walters has it. I got to watch him shoot the ball all day long. He only averaged 5 points in 12 minutes with the Tide. He'll double those. He'll be a double figure scorer, and he'll play double. He'll play 20 minutes for Michigan for sure. He might be their best out of all these guys that they got. I like the way he looks and the way he shoots the ball. I don't think Dusty is done. They're still looking. The Vladislav Golden, he is the big man from FAU. They're waiting on him. He reminds me of a guy I watched over the weekend. At one point, he was checking Luka Doncic, Zubac from the Clippers. Zubac is 7'1", and they've got a similar build. And the way that, you know, check it out. I love that comp out of all the different comps that I had there. So we'll see how Dusty is able to do three or four more yet can happen. If you want more of a write-up on the basketball recruits and what I thought of them, I have a little write-up on each one of them. There's so many of them in there. You can check that out on the Maize and Blue Review. You can see that right now by joining the Maize and Blue Review by going to michigan.rivals.com. All right, that is going to do it. Looking forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday. Jim Scarcelli will be here. We'll see what Scar thought of the spring game. We only scratched the surface here on the spring game. Everybody have themselves a great day. Thanks for getting in. And smash that like button. Leave comments on the podcast, like always. Until Wednesday. Have a great day on this Monday.